This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Salam, 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 salam.
رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في كتابه المجيد وفرقانه الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Honorable scholars, respected brothers and elders, the month of Rabiul Awwal is generally a month where Muslims across the globe express their sentiments of love and affiliation to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in this regard jalsas are held. And with the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I had the good opportunity to participate in a jalsa in the UK, and I was invited to participate in such a blessed and momentous occasion. Like the poet said it, ma in madahtu muhammadan bi maqalati walakin madahtu maqalati bi muhammadi, that after praising the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, I have not elevated his rank by my poetry, but on the reverse, my poetry has been elevated by his name. And really speaking, participating in such a gathering doesn't add to the beauty or the piety of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is exalted by the very declaration of the Quran, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. But indeed, it is the good fortune of one to be participate in such a gathering. Furthermore, Allah made it possible for me then to go to Medina Munawwara, and I guess that first sight at the green dome of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam leaves a shiver in the back of every Muslim, a flush of spiritual ecstasy, a combination of anxiety coupled with love. Leave alone that blessed masjid, Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh felt uncomfortable relieving himself in the city of Medina. He would go on the outskirts of Medina. How day can I relieve myself on a place where my Nabi has walked? Qazi Ayaz has categorically mentioned, the land on which my Nabi and your Nabi is resting is the most sacred land in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is our belief that a Nabi is buried in the very place where he passes away. The riwayat of Bayhaqi in Dalailun Nubuwa, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam entered into his fatal illness, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel to visit him. When a person is of a high profile, we say he enjoys a state visit, a state clinic, and if he dies, he has a state funeral. Words cannot possibly do justice to explain or to explore the privilege of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah sends Jibreel to inquire about his well-being. Jibreel makes an appearance before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Kayfa tajidu ya Rasulallah? O Nabi of Allah, how is it looking? He said, ajiduni ya Jibreel makruban. And wallah, as I stood by the grave of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this hadith flashed through my mind. This was the very blessed location. It is unfortunately said that just as phones ring in this masjid, so do phones ring in the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is a sad reality, just as musical tones has become part of this masjid, it is tragic, it is unfortunate that musical tones steps away from this blessed land where the greatest human is resting. Unfortunately, the form of materialism has gripped us there also. While many of us are very passionate to advance and get closer to the blessed grave, and perhaps I compliment your sentiments, but somehow when we look into the life of our pious predecessors, then there was a degree of reservation in them, and that was as a result of the fear. How do I stand before my Nabi when I'm a criminal? How do I face him when I'm a sinner? Walana Yusuf bin Nuri rahimahumullah, categorically it is mentioned, he never plucked up the courage. He stood at a distance and conveyed his salam. Go back to the golden era of the Sahaba, Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu, the conqueror of Egypt in the throes of death, in three sentences when he summed up his life and he narrated it to his son. Then he spoke about the era when he was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which obviously was the noblest era of his life. He said, فَلَوْ سُئِلْتُ أَنْ أَنْعَتَهُ مَا أَتَقْتُ لِأَنِّي لَمْ أَكُنْ أُتِيقُ أَنْ أَمْلَأَ عَيْنَيَّ إِجْلَالًا لَهُ. While I attended his gathering daily, and I sat in his blessed discourses, But trust me, I never plucked the courage to raise my gaze on that face. If someone had to ask me, describe, I would politely decline. Nonetheless, Jibreel Amin comes, and he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how do you feel? He said, أَجِدُنِي يَا جِبْرِيلُ مَكْرُوبًا وَأَجِدُنِي يَا جِبْرِيلُ مَغْمُومًا. Jibreel, I'm feeling rather sad and depressed. Jibreel appears the second time, the same answer is given. On the third day, Jibreel alayhi salam comes, the riwayat of Bayhaqi, Dala'ilun Nubuwa, and he has two added guests with him. One is an angel by the name of Ismail, who is in charge of 100,000 malaika. And one is an angel by the name of Malakul Maut. Malakul Maut comes and very respectfully positions himself outside the blessed room of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jibreel Amin enters and he says, Ya Rasulallah, Hada Malakul Maut yasta'dhinu alayk. O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have come to once again ask about your well-being, but also I thought I bring it to your notice that Malakul Maut is standing outside the door. He's politely asking permission for him to enter. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, let him come in. Jibreel said, O Prophet of Allah, let me remind you, مَسْتَأْذَنَ عَلَىٰ أَدْمِيٍ قَبْلَكَ وَلَا يَسْتَأْذِنُ عَلَىٰ أَدْمِيٍ بَعْدَكَ. If it is any other human, the angel of death makes a sudden appearance. He comes barging through. He doesn't care who it is. لَا يَتْرُكُ الْمَوْتُ ذَا جَاهٍ لِعِزَّتِهِ. But it is your position, it is your rank that the man has kneeled himself politely waiting for your indication. Can we imagine what was the lofty rank of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He says, allow him to come inside. Malakul Maut enters into that very room where we stand by and we convey our salams to our blessed Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then has a dialogue with Malakul Maut. You know, we say this man sat and he knows this minister and he's got context here. A dialogue with Malakul Maut. Malakul Maut says, Inna Allah amarani ilayk. Inna Allah arsalani ilayk. Fa in amartani an aqbidha ruhak qabadtu. Wa in amartani an atrukahu taraktu. O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have been sent by Allah. And I have been told to remove your soul. If you consent very politely, I will do what I have to. If you decline, I respect your choice. So he looks at Malakul Maut and he says, Wa taf'al ya Malakul Maut? You mean you're actually going to remove my soul? He says, Bidhalika umirtu. Wa umirtu an ati'aka. O Prophet of Allah, I have been given instructions accordingly, and I'm only complying to divine commands. But I have also been told that I tread the sensitivity of accommodating your sentiments, and I don't offend you in the equation. Again, look at the position of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. While he sat on that pedestal, while he sat on that rank, that Malakul Maut consults with him. فَنَذَرَ النَّبِيُّ إِلَىٰ جِبْرِيلِ. He politely then glances towards Jibreel alayhi salam. Scholars of hadith say this was a gesture of consultation. Imagine on what a rank he is sitting, what a position he is. If it was us when somebody, oh okay, so what you said, so you don't ask permission from anyone else, only me. Oh okay, we would repeat our praises. He politely glances towards Jibreel. Jibreel, what's the way forward? Jibreel said, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if your glance is consultation, then my answer is, إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ اشْتَاقَ إِلَىٰ لِقَائِكَ. Honestly speaking, I think the time has come close, the chapter has to be closed now. Your Lord is very passionate to meet you. إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ اشْتَاقَ إِلَىٰ لِقَائِكَ. That is my answer. He said, Jibreel, if that's your indication, he then looked at Malakul Maut and he said, إِمْضِ لِمَا أُمِرْتَ بِهِ. Go and do what you have to, O Malakul Maut. Can you imagine what a task on Malakul Maut? How difficult he is. How dare you hurt the feelings of my Nabi? How dare you hurt the sentiments of my Nabi? Malakul Maut then comes, and perhaps the greatest of tasks that was ever put on this angel, to remove the soul of the greatest of humans that ever existed on the face of this earth. The soul was removed. The soul was removed, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passes away. The riwayat of Hakim, Sahaba was still sitting. They were still trying to get grips with what had happened. And next minute a person clad in white came. He made a presence before the Sahaba. He then said few words of consolation to them. Said few words of condolences to them. Concluded it by saying, فَإِلَى اللَّهِ فَارْغَبُوا وَإِلَيْهِ فَأَنِيبُوا فَإِنَّمَا الْمَحْرُومُ مَنْ حُرِمَ الثَّوَابُ. Listen, turn to Allah. This is perhaps the greatest thing that has ever dawned upon any. The greatest catastrophe. Fatima radiallahu anha said, سُبَّتْ عَلَيَّ مَصَائِبُ لو أنها سبت على الأيام سرنا لياليا. The death of my father has brought about such a mountain on my shoulders. I think if it has to come on to night also, even night won't be able to bear it, it will turn into day. لو أنها سبت على الأيام سرنا لياليا. Or if it comes on to day, it will turn into night. When this person consoled the Sahaba and he left, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu said, do you know who is the gentleman that came and left? They said, no. He said, this is Khidr alayhi salam. Allah has sent him to console the whole ummah. Abdullah ibn Zayd radiallahu anhu, I was just reading the riwayat now of Mawahib. His son came and told him, listen, oh my father, I've got sad news to break to you. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has passed away. On the spot he said, Allahumma adhib basari hatta la ara ba'da habibi ahada. Allah, I have heard that my Nabi has left this world. I ask you, seize my vision, ya Allah. I don't want to set my eyes on any other human after I have seen your Nabi. Can you imagine what love Sahaba had? Can we reflect? Can we perceive? The ayat-i kareema that I have recited before you. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. This is a verse of the 17th juz. And it is part of the discussion of Surah Anbiya, where Allah is speaking in detail about prophets. One would assume that when the name of the chapter is that of prophets, then perhaps the biggest discussion would be that of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, simply because he is the noblest of the prophets. On the reverse, very ironically, not in the beginning of the chapter, not in the middle, towards the concluding verses of the chapter, Allah introduces his Nabi. So Allah goes in length with the description of Ibrahim and the introduction of Ibrahim. Allah then follows it up by that of Dawood and Sulaiman. Allah then goes on to Ayyub alayhi salam. The chapter is of prophets. The very latter part, the very concluding verses, Allah comes with an introduction of his Nabi. But perhaps the most apt and the most precise and the most comprehensive description that Allah ever gave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this verse, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Oh my Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have sent you just as I am the Lord of all the worlds. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. I have sent you as a mercy to all the worlds. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's presence was not a mercy restricted to the human race. Generally, when a person makes a good impression and he turns people towards nobility, then we salute him, we compliment him after his coming here. So much good came about. Look at what an impression the Prophet ﷺ left behind on this world. Look at the mercy, the traces of his mercy. Leave alone the rest. The riwayat is in Muslim Sharif. Aisha radiallahu anha says, the Prophet ﷺ left me and went. فَغِرْتُ عَلَيْهِ. Like any other woman, a twinge of suspicion gripped my heart. A bit of nervousness flashed through my thoughts. Where is my Nabi going on my night? Perhaps visiting another spouse. So I went out looking and then I realized he was engaged in ibadat. I returned. When I returned, I was breathing heavy. I was pulsating. When he entered the house, Fara'a, he sensed my nervousness. He sensed my anxiety. So he said, Ma laki ya Aisha tu aghirti? Aisha, what's the matter? You look like you're looking nervous and there's some obsession in you. She said, yes, O Prophet of Allah, nothing to hide. وَمَا لِي لَا يُغَارُ مِثْلِي عَلَى مِثْلِكَ. I am, and I will be honest, and let me confess, after all, you are the greatest of human, so you can imagine my obsession in proportion to your position. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, Aisha, أَجَاءَكِ شَيْطَانُكِ. It looks like your devil is bothering you again, O Aisha. So she said, وَمَعِي شَيْطَانٌ. O Prophet of Allah, leave what had happened. You mean I have a devil? What are you trying to say? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, yes, indeed, the hadith is in Muslim Sharif, you have a devil. So the Prophet, Aisha radiallahu anha goes on to say, O Prophet of Allah, is it only me or is it everyone? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, no, every person has a devil. So she says, what about you, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He says, I also have a devil. وَلَكِنْ أَعَانَنِي اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ حَتَّى أَسْلَمْ. But Allah gave me the ability and the strength and the upper hand over my devil, and he is the only one who has accepted Islam. Leave alone making an impression, the Prophet of Allah left the devil embracing Islam. Obviously that was his devil and no other devil. We learn about Maryam alayhi salam and Isa alayhi salam, the riwayat of Mishkat, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, as birth, yastahillu sarikham min massi shaitan, that every child cries at birth. And this is as a result of the influence of the devil. Doctors might tell you medically is to develop the lungs and whatever else. But the Prophet ﷺ says this is as an interference of the devil. However, the Prophet ﷺ says that the Virgin Mary and her son Isa alayhi salam were divinely exempted from the influence of the devil at birth. This was their position. But look at the rank of the Prophet ﷺ, that his devil accepted Islam. Understand what the rank Allah had given him. In fact, before I explore briefly how he came as a mercy to everyone, and then I tie it up with the hadith that I have quoted in the beginning, بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. I have been sent to perfect noble character. That has been the object of my mission. As a virtue and as an exclusive privilege of the Prophet ﷺ, it is mentioned that three people brought iman on him prior to his nabuwat. One was Waraqa ibn Nawfal, who appears in the few first pages of Bukhari Sharif. When the Prophet ﷺ received a revelation, then Khadija took him radiyallahu anha to Waraqa ibn Nawfal, who was well versed with the divine scriptures. When Waraqa looked at the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Laytani akunu hayyan ith yukhrijuka qawmuk." I wish I can live up to that era when your nation will expel you from your own locality. The Prophet ﷺ very astonishingly said, "Have I heard you correct? They love me, they honor me, they revere me, and you say they'll expel me." He said, "Yes, lam ya'ti rajulun qattu bimithli ma ji'ta bihi illa udiya." This has remained the pattern in the nations that have preceded you. Whenever a prophet stood up with truth, he was suppressed by other forces. وَإِن يُدْرِكْنِي يَوْمُكَ أَنْصُرُكَ نَصْرًا مُؤَزَّرًا. And if I live up to that era, I will be the first to support you. That is why many people believe that while Abu Bakr undoubtedly is the first companion, but there is someone who has brought iman before Abu Bakr, and many scholars hold the view it was Waraqa ibn Nawfal who had expressed his faith. He had expressed his faith before the Prophet ﷺ had formally made his declaration. The second person was whom the Quran speaks about, وَجَاءَ رَجُلٌ مِّنْ أَقْصَى الْمَدِينَةِ يَسْعَى قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ اتَّبِعُوا الْمُرْسَلِينَ. A person who lived 600 years before the Prophet ﷺ, he heard about the Prophet ﷺ, he passionately brought iman on the Prophet ﷺ. And the third person, mention of this is made in the tafsir of Jalalain in Surah Al-Dukhan, which is the 44th chapter of the Quran. A person by the name of Tubba, who was the king of Yemen, he had come to Medina Munawwara. Again, when I'm walking there and you're standing by that masjid and that city, remember the words of the Prophet ﷺ. He said, "Dajjal will come and he'll cause havoc on the earth. He will try entering my Medina. Allah won't allow him to get into Medina." Imagine the position and the status of this land. Can we fathom that Dajjal, why he'll cause havoc on the earth? The Prophet ﷺ says there will be angels protecting the city of Medina, which will bar the entry of Dajjal. Anyway, this person, he brought iman on the Prophet ﷺ. When they told him that this is Medina, is the place where the final Prophet will migrate, he then built a house exclusively for the Prophet ﷺ. And then he sang few couplets, and he said, شَهِدْتُ عَلَىٰ أَحْمَدَ أَنَّهُ رَسُولٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ بَارِ النَّسَمِ فَلَوْ مُدَّ عُمْرِي إِلَىٰ عُمْرِهِ لَكُنْتُ وَزِيرًا لَهُ وَابْنَ عَمٍ وَجَاهَدْتُ بِالسَّيْفِ أَعْدَاءَهُ وَفَرَّجْتُ عَنْ صَدْرِهِ كُلَّ غَمٍ. Oh Allah, if you prolong my life, I testify on the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I wish I can live up to see that era, and if I do meet with this Nabi, I will be the first to support his mission. Then he wrote a message and he said, "Amma ba'd, fa inni amantu bika wa bi kitabika alladhi yanzilu alayk." Oh Nabi of Allah, I have brought iman on you and the book that will be revealed on you. "Fa inni min ummatika al-awwalin," I am the first to accept your message. "Fa in udrikuka," if I live up to see you, "fabiha wa na'imat," nothing better I can ask for. "Wa in lam udrikka fashfa'li ila rabbik wa la tansani yawm al-qiyamah." Then on the day of Qiyamah, I ask you, include me amongst those that you will intercede for. And do not forget me on that day. "Fa inni min ummatika al-awwalin bayatuka qabla maji'ik," I pledge my loyalty to you before your birth, never mind your prophethood. And then this was left and this house was built. "Kanu yatawarathunahu kabiran an kabirin." This letter was transmitted down the generations till the conveyance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Medina Munawwara. And every sahabi poured his heart out that I be the host and my Nabi be the guest. And he said, leave this camel, it's under divine inspiration, it will halt where my Allah says, innaha ma'mura. And this camel then comes and halts outside the house of Abu Ayyub Ansari radiyallahu anhu. In Sirat al-Mustafa on page 410 in the first volume, it is written under the strength of Shaykh Zainuddin rahimahumullah. He said, study the history of this house and you will realize it was currently in the ownership of Abu Ayyub. Otherwise, it was the very house that was built by the king of Yemen centuries for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He then goes on to say, it is correct for someone to say the Prophet of Allah did not stay at Abu Ayyub, he stayed at his own house. Understand the position. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Scholars say every atom, even lifeless objects. I'm standing in Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then you glance at the minbar, and immediately this hadith flashes through your mind. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, prior to the minbar being built for him, he used to rest on a date palm and he used to take support from it. And then the riwayat of Bukhari, Muri Ghulamakin Najjar yaj'alu li a'wada, that a woman came and offered the skills of a son who was a carpenter to establish and to build a pulpit so that he can address the congregation simply because the numbers were growing. Subsequent to that, the minbar was constructed and my Nabi then ascended the pulpit. Leave alone you and I, my heart cries. As you leave Medina, there is a tear in every part of your body, not only your eye, every hair of your body cries. When my Nabi changed his location and he left the date palm and then he went on to the minbar, the riwayat of Bidayah, the date palm started crying in an audible manner that was heard by people in the last surf of the masjid. My Nabi was compelled to descend from the pulpit. He went to this tree. He then embraced this palm and he said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ لَوْ لَمْ أَلْتَزِمْهُ. I swear by that Allah who controls my life, if I did not do what I did with this palm, trust me, this palm would have cried in my separation till the day of Qiyamah. Attachment to lifeless objects. Today we talk of animal welfare. When one statement the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam elevated the rank of the animal kingdom, he said, اِتَّقُوا اللَّهَ فِي هَذِهِ الْبَهَائِمَ الْمُعْجَمَةِ. Fear Allah in these dumb animals. فَارْكَبُوهَا صَالِحَةً وَاتْرُكُوهَا صَالِحًا. Mount onto it with dignity. Dismount from it with dignity. The jinnat. When we were in Makkah, I had the opportunity to go to Masjidul Jinn. For the basic history that we ought to know, Masjidul Jinn is that very masjid where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam met the delegation of jinnat. And then he informed them that he is the final Nabi. And that very people who came to probe his mission, to query why there was so much security in the heavens, muli'at harasan shadida, they had accepted his message, and subsequent to that they had become envoys towards his religion. And there is a masjid built there known as Masjidul Jinn. The jinnat came and complained to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they said, oh Prophet of Allah, you know, the humankind is urinating in our holes where we live and we dwell, and they are flooding our homes with their urine. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam issued one declaration, and he said, remember these bones that, number one, with regards to the food, the bones that you use, do not use these bones to relieve yourself, because on these bones Allah creates food for the jinnat. And don't urinate in these holes, these are the dwellings of the jinnat. He took pity upon the jinnat, he took pity on the animal kingdom. Wallahi, he was a mercy to humanity in its entirety. Really speaking, brothers, we can go on speaking what a human he was. Let us ask ourselves, as being the heirs of this Nabi, those that inherit, ثُمَّ أَوْرَثْنَا الْكِتَابَ الَّذِينَ اصْطَفَيْنَا مِنْ عِبَادِنَا فَمِنْهُمْ ظَالِمٌ لِنَفْسِهِ. Allah said, after my Nabi, the inheritance of the Quran went onto the ummah of his Nabi. How much have we lived up to the legacy of this Nabi? How much are we a mercy to humanity? How much do we transmit his sentiments? Sahaba were those who adequately lived up to it, diligently complied. When Zayd ibn Dathina was about to be executed, Abu Sufyan, who had not accepted Islam, made a remark in a form of jest. And he said, listen, أَتُحِبُّ أَن يَكُونَ مُحَمَّدًا أَلْآنَ فِي مَكَانِكَ. Zayd, how nice it would have been if things could have been reversed now. You could be in the comfort and your Prophet could be executed. He got up and he said, trust me, kill me and execute me. That doesn't hurt me, but that statement means more to me. وَاللَّهِ لَا أُحِبُّ أن يكون محمدا الآن في مكانه الذي هو فيه وتصيبه شوكة تؤذيه وأني جالس في أهلي. I cannot perceive a thorn pricking my Nabi. I will put my life down, but I will not accept a thorn pricking. Zayd was not ready for a thorn to prick his Nabi. Allah's Qasam, my brother, when you are operating your businesses with interest, trust me, understand my equation and my parable. It's not a thorn, it's a sword through your Nabi. Understand when you are following the fashion, the riwayat of Muslim Sharif, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, لَتَتَّبِعُنَّ سُنَنَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ شِبْرًا بِشِبْرٍ ذِرَاعًا بِذِرَاعٍ حَتَّى لَوْ دَخَلُوا جُحْرَ ضَبٍّ لَتَّبَعْتُمُوهُمْ. I'm afraid, I foresee a time when my ummah will desert me, they will abandon me, they will forsake me, and they will embrace the practices of the nations that preceded them. To such a minute detail, they will become blind in following them. The words of Muslim Sharif, حَتَّى لَوْ دَخَلُوا جُحْرَ ضَبٍّ. If they will see the others entering a lizard hole, which is contrary to all forms of logic, but simply because they have done it, my ummah will also follow. Can we imagine the pain with which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said? I conclude with the hadith with which I commence. What were the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ. You stood there, you have conveyed your salams. Undoubtedly there is a mark of love. But what is expected from you is to carry on the mission. I have come to perfect akhlaq. Now recently we had Human's Day or Human's Right. One hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I ask myself and one and all, if we can only conclude on this one advice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In a nutshell, if you want to sum up the rights of humans, and you want an Islamic viewpoint, and an Islamic approach to human rights, it's one hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. صِلْ مَنْ قَطَعَكْ أُعْفُ عَنْ مَنْ ظَلَمَكْ أَحْسِنْ إِلَى مَنْ أَسَاءَ إِلَيْكْ. If this hadith, I take it, you take it, my life will be different, your marriage will be different, your business will be different. Let's reflect over it. صِلْ مَنْ قَتَعَكْ. Passionately join ties with those who severe it. Now these are the words of the Nabi, and this is what is expected. Passionately, imagine what Sahaba did, we are not asked to do that. Passionately join ties with those who severe it with you. أُعْفُ عَمَّنْ ظَلَمَكْ. Make it a point to forgive those who abuse you. Make it a point to forgive. Wallah, it's easy said, easier heard, but to do it. أحسن إلى من أساء إليك. Those that are hostile to you, you be kind to them. The Quran said, فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. If you adopt these words of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah says every form of enmity will be converted into friendship and understanding. Imagine if employer and employee, mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, neighbor and neighbor, if we can adopt this character, the Quran says, وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَمَا يُلَقَّاهَا إِلَّا ذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. I don't have time to elaborate. When Qarun made his sudden appearance, and he was moving in pomp and show, in might and glory, and in great pride and arrogance, people advanced and they looked at him and they used the phrase, إِنَّهُ لَذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. This is indeed a privileged human. Now it's something for us to reflect. Allah uses the very same phrase which they used admiring the wealth of Qarun. Allah said, the one who embraces these words of my Nabi and takes this character of my Nabi to heart, in my eyes, he is the lucky one. He is the fortunate one. And really, brothers, the decision lies with Allah. May Allah Pa give us the tawfiq, instill within our hearts the true love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We become an embodiment of his kindness. His kindness left the devil embracing Islam, brought pity on the animal kingdom. Let us see how do we transmit that warmness. If we take this one hadith to heart, and whoever, let me go back today and reflect, whoever I have any form of hostility with, today is my day of forgiving, today is my day of patching. Inshallah, by virtue of that, we will be amongst those that will stand up on the day of Qiyamah under the banner of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and be privileged with entering into Jannah. Allah grant us the reality. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.